If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We'll be reading several passages of Scripture as we normally do. I want to speak to you on the subject this morning of do not worry. Do not worry about anything. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious, and that word, of course, means don't be worried. And of course, this is the Word of God, and it's telling us this as Christians and as believers. Don't be anxious for nothing. Amen? Don't let anything bother you. But in everything, everybody say everything. What are we supposed to do to help us be not worried or be anxious? It's by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving. Amen. Let your requests be made known to God. So if you're going to pray properly, then it's with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And what will happen? Verse 7. And the peace of God. Whose peace? Is it your peace or my peace or our peace? It's God's peace. Amen? He gives us His peace. If we'll do what He says here, His peace will be ours. It's God's peace. And because it's God's peace, it's a peace that surpasses all understanding. I've had, over the years, my wife and I, how can you be so peaceful in the midst of the circumstances that you're going through right now? And we've also always had to reply, that's God's peace. Because He gives us peace in everything, in all areas and aspects of our lives, if we will just accept it and understand it. And His peace, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. Everybody say guard. That means to protect. He will protect, guard your hearts. That's your soul. That's who we are. And our minds through Christ Jesus. And I want to read Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Who receives anything from God? Who receives anything from God? We just read it. Everyone who asks. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. And then the Lord Jesus speaking here, He wants to give us an illustration. Verse 9, what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Now God's saying, look at yourselves. And your Heavenly Father is a whole lot greater than we are. And that's the meaning of all of this. Or if he asks a fish, verse 10, will he give him a snake? Verse 11, if you then, being relatively evil, and you know, in comparison to God, we're not any of us as good as God is, right? If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? James chapter 4, verse 2. You lust or you desire, and you have not. Sometimes you kill, steal, rob, murder, whatever, and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not. Why do you have not? Because you don't ask. Amen? I learned a long time ago, and I just put this in right here. We have not because we ask not. So sometimes I come before the Lord and I'm saying, Lord, I'm not sure you want me to have this. Or maybe this is not the right time that you want me to have this. Whatever it is. But I am at least going to ask. Amen? Now, I don't ask for stupid things either. I don't ask for an airline or an airplane or something. Are you listening? He's not talking about foolish things. But he's talking about he wants you to ask. If you're one of God's children, he wants you to ask. He wants you to talk to him. Verse 3, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. In conjunction with that, I wanted to say, you ask because you ask amiss. I had a devotional here from R.A. Torrey. He was a minister many years ago. And he says, stop a moment and think. Is it not often the case when men stand up to pray in public or kneel down to pray in private that they are thinking far more of what they are asking for than they are of the great God who made heaven and earth and who has all power? Is it not often the case that in our prayers our thoughts are wandering off everywhere? We take the name of God on our lips, but there is no real conscious approach to God in our hearts. If there is to be any power in our prayer, if our prayer is to get anything, the first thing to be sure of when we pray is that we really have come into the presence of God and are really speaking to Him. We're not just saying words or speaking words. Oh, let those two words, to God, let those words, to God, sink deep into your heart. And from this time on, never pray, never utter one syllable of prayer until you are sure that you have come into the presence of God and are really talking to Him. Amen? If we would do that, we would see a lot more of our prayers answered. The other thing is that I had another story I'm going to read. I'm not going to read it to you, but a man who was a minister had prayed for 25 years for his father to get saved. His father got saved. He had written down when he first began to pray for his father. His father got saved 25 years later on the same day he started praying for him. And God let him know that. So the other thing is about prayer. If we're not praying for something foolish and we believe we're not praying for something stupid and we're actually praying for something that we feel like that God wants, then don't stop. Don't give up. Because it's the effectual, fervent, earnest prayer of a righteous man that avails much. And it doesn't make any difference how long it takes. keep on praying. And I want to tell you this for those of you who have been praying for children or loved ones or family members that you've been praying for them a long time. Don't give up. Because God says, that he will answer your prayers. Amen. You say, how does he say that? Especially with somebody that's lost. Because he's not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. Jesus died for your sins, my sins, and the sins of the whole world. And I've learned from experience over, I'm 85 today. Thank you for wishing me happy birthday, and we had a good birthday. Every day we had a good day yesterday. Amen? Thank you for that. Appreciate it. Thank you for all the cards and all the gift cards. I'll be eating out for the rest of the year at I don't five different restaurants. And I appreciate that. I'm what you're going to be calling here next year if you come by, a full gospel preacher. We serve a good God. And what I know that I don't know how long it's going to take, but I know that if we pray for people, we're praying the will of God that they would be saved. It is God's will. Absolutely everything a Christian has from God, listen, comes through faith. It comes through faith. If you give up praying for somebody, then that means you give up faith. Can't get anything from God without faith. And the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 6:12, listen, fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. I'm going to tell you something. When you start praying for something or someone and you know for sure that you feel almost perfectly sure that that's what God wants, then the God of this world, the evil one, Satan, does not want you to have anything from God. Nothing. And he will do his best to discourage us, to worry us, to annoy us, to frustrate us, to trouble us mentally. He'll do everything to prevent us from getting what we're praying for. And he knows, and you may not know, but you do know now. And if we know the Word of God, we know that we're going to only get the answer to our prayer if it's a prayer of faith, which means the reason I'm asking for this is that for the salvation of a loved one or a friend or whoever I'm praying for or whatever I'm praying for. The reason I'm asking for this is because I believe God wants me to have it. He's my heavenly Father. He supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. And I believe he wants this, and nothing, the devil or nobody else, is going to fill me with doubt or fear or frustration, because I'm going to get what I have asked for, because God says I will have it if I ask for it. Amen? And when you start praying prayers like that, you're going to see answers, and sometimes a lot quicker than you think, much quicker than you think. So I want to encourage you. Fight the good fight of faith. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Amen? So, I'm going to tell you first of all, well, second of all, or wherever I am, if you're going to pray and receive something from God, it's going to be a fight. Because God says it's going to be a fight. And let me tell you this, and you probably already know this anyway, this is not necessarily from the Bible, but if you know anything's worth having and you're going to get it, you have to work for it. And prayer, in this sense, is not that we don't work for it. It's we work in prayer. Prayer is a work. We labor for people in prayer. And it's a mental exercise. And also remember that if you're going to fight the good fight of faith, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, if you want to put this down, you need to remember this, that faith, how do you get faith? Does it just fall out of a tree and hit you? How do you get faith? Hebrews 11, 6 says, faith, listen, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you want more faith, get into the Word of God. Because if you want to have faith and great faith and the faith that God answers and the kind of faith that really sticks with you, and so you can fight the good fight of faith, get into the Word of God, because not only faith comes from the Word of God, it in strength increases the Word of God. And that's not just the Word of God that you read, but that's the Word of God we hear. One of the most encouraging things that we used to do in churches, we don't do that much anymore. We may do that occasionally here in this church, but I remember we used to, many, many years ago, we used to have a testimony service. And people would stand up and testify. And what they would stand up and testify about is, well, God did this for me. Or God did this for me. Now, I was licensed and ordained a Baptist minister. I went to a Baptist college, got a degree from a Baptist university. But the Lord showed me that there's not necessarily wrong anything more wrong with the Baptist than there is with the Methodist, Catholic, or anybody else. You listen to me? But he wanted me to become non-denominational. So that's what I am. I'm non-denominational. And this is a non-denominational church. And I said all of that to say that God wants that because he wants me not just to reach Baptists or Methodists or Catholics. He wants us to reach everybody. Because everybody you run into has needs. I'll tell you something else. I've only been a full-time pastor a couple of times in my life. I surrendered. God called. Well, my mother had been, we were talking about this morning with someone, I think my son or grandson. My mother had been married 3 years. She hadn't had a son or hadn't had a child. And she told me this later on after I surrendered to the ministry. She told me, she said, Lewis, I hadn't had a child for 3 years. I went to the altar and prayed, and I said, God, if you'll give me a little boy, I'll give him to you for the rest of his life. I didn't have a chance before. I was a goner, but if you want to look at it that way, I was a dead duck from the very get-go before I was even born. Thank God for my mother. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean I was good from the time I was born. Let me tell you, I had a lot of people say, don't become like Lewis Cowan. I was brought up in this town. There was a lot of people that knew me. In fact, one of my best friends that I run around with for years, he's Mr. Blasky. The schools are named after Mr. Blasky. He was the superintendent of schools. I run around with his son, he was 18 when I was like 15, And boy, whatever did we do? He was my example. I thought he was a good example. He had a car. I could go places, amen? I didn't have any idea. Well, Herbert, when we started this church here, whenever, back in 77, 78, 79, whatever it was, it's been here for a while. Herbert and his wife, they were Lutheran. They belonged to a church over in Aransas Pass. And Herbert said, I heard Lewis Cowan is pastoring a church here in Ingleside. And they said, yes, he is. He said, I have got to go hear that man. He came, got saved, got filled with the Holy Spirit, became our secretary treasurer. Amen? I preached his funeral. He and his wife. I'm just trying to tell you, don't ever be shocked at what God can do. God can do anything. You just trust Him. If we'll just trust Him, if we'll just ask Him, and if you're not sure about it, just say, Lord, if this is not really what I'm supposed to be praying for, show me. If it's, do I need to change this some way? Just be honest with God. Listen, the best times in my life, I have talking to God is just when I'm driving down the highway or I'm on my job or I can just pause and stop anytime, whatever I'm thinking about, and say, thank you, Father. Bless your name. I'd like to talk to you about this. I'd like to talk to you about that. Or somebody calls me on the phone and says, hey, would you pray about this? I don't have to go to the church and get on my knees at the altar and pray. I can pray. My body, listen, if you're a Christian, your body is a habitation of God. God lives in you. And you can talk to Him anytime you want to. So become a blabbermouth. You listening? He don't care. Just become a blabbermouth. You say, well, what do I talk to Him about? Talk to Him about anything. If you got a problem with your wife, tell Him about it. Sick Him on her. If you got a problem with your husband, sick God on him. If you have a problem with children, turn them over to the Lord. He knows how to take care of them. For the Bible says, for with God all things are possible. And we have not because we ask not. Are you with me? Some of the best times in my life, if I've just been driving down the highway, and I just start talking to the Lord. And I listen. Because you see, prayer and talking to the Lord and letting this mind, spiritual warfare, has to do with prayer and getting into the Word of God. And it not only comes from preachers and teachers and fellow believers and from the Word of God, but God can speak to you right here in your spirit being. Did you know that? Anybody ever? And I'm not saying audibly. Now, I've heard some people say they heard God audibly. But I've heard Him in my spirit talk about a lot of things, and sometimes it was almost audibly. Most of the time in my life, of my however many years I've been preaching and teaching, I haven't been a full-time pastor. I've always worked. Worked for construction companies. I worked for engineering companies. Worked on refineries. Worked in all kinds of places. And I prayed about my jobs. And I prayed about things that were going on my jobs. And God always gave me the wisdom to know what to do. I've supervised turnarounds in a refinery. I mean, hundreds of people. Boiler makers, pipe fitters, carpenters, laborers. Not because I'm smart, because God's smart. I didn't get there because I was smart. I got there because God gave me the ability and the wherewithal to know how to function. And because I trusted Him and I knew I could talk to Him. The last job that I had, I was making really good money, somewhere between $90,000 and over $100,000 a year, working as an inspector and working for an engineering firm. And God said, Lewis, I want you to go full-time. I want you to quit your job and go full-time. I've shared this story with some of you before. Well, I'll make it brief then. So I started trying. I had three cars I was paying for. One of them was my daughter's that she gave back to me. Shame on her. I'll be picking on Leslie. She got married and her husband had a car, so I got it back. So I was paying for three cars. I was paying for a house. I was paying for credit cards. I was in debt. And the Lord said, quit your job. I said, what? Is that you, Lord? And He said, yes, it is. Quit your job. So I didn't quit my job. I started working really hard, and I started quit charging things on credit cards, and I started trying to pay off as many bills as I could pay off as fast as I could. And one day I was driving down the highway, and I was talking to the Lord. He said, Lewis, what are you doing? I mean, He talks to you like that. If you get familiar with Him and start talking to Him and listening, if He knows you're listening. I said, well, Lord, I'm trying to get out of debt. You want me to go full time? I'm trying to get out of debt. And He said, Lewis, don't you think that I can take as good of care of you without you having a job as you with a job? And I said, well, yes, sir, but I didn't really believe it. The proof is in the puffing, right, or in the pudding, or whatever. He said, quit your job. So I quit my job. I was driving back with my little box about that big that I took out of my desk of stuff in my car seat. I was coming across the causeway, actually. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? I said, the church can't afford this church. They can't afford a pastor. Plus, especially making what I'm making. They really can't afford anything. And so I can't go down there. And we had, I think, 13 elders or deacons at that time. We had a school. We had like 45 students in the back. The church was really doing well, but we just wasn't bringing in a whole lot of money. It was taking everything. And He said, well, Lewis, you can depend on them or you can depend on me. I said, well, Lord, I'll depend on you. Well, within 6 months of going full-time, of course, people would come by and say, here, pay your water bill or pay your electric bill or something, hand us some money. But the thing was, within 6 months, this church, we owed over $100,000. This church was paid off, and all of my debts, my house, cars, and everything was paid off. One whack, thank God. Because God moved on one man's heart. Amen? And God's blessed him for that too. Amen? So I'm telling you what God can do. And you say, well, God did that for you because you're a preacher. No. God did that for me because I'm one of his children and I trusted him. You're one of his children and he'll trust you. If you'll trust him, he'll take care of you. Doesn't he say, I'll supply all your needs according to his riches and glory? Can you believe him to do that for you? Amen? Praise God. So that's letting this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. That's not worrying about anything. That's Isaiah 26:3, the Lord says, thou will keep him, listen, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Get your mind on him. Romans 12:1 and 2 says, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renew your mind through the scriptures and through the word of God. Listen, I was going to tell you, I enjoyed hearing people's testimonies because you hear people stand up and say that God did this for me. Amen? That's a word that's God's testifying, saying, if he does that for that person, well, why wouldn't he do that for me? Amen? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, we have the mind of Christ. And the last scripture I'm going to give you is 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, though we walk in the flesh, that is, though we walk in a fleshly body, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. The weapons of our warfare, our spiritual war, they're not fleshly. It's not just because you have a good mind or you have a high IQ. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen? That's what that says. Make that one of your scriptures. Amen? And start trusting the Lord and just talk to him. And don't come to him and say, Lord, thee, or my whatever, thou can do, you know. He didn't talk that way anymore. He speaks your language. He understands when you say, dang, or dadgummit, or what a dummy. You hit yourself in the head, or whatever. He knows all about you, and he loves you anyway. Amen? Amen? So we're involved in spiritual warfare, and He doesn't want you because he says in this text that I just read this morning, don't be anxious. God's speaking here. You hear me? God's speaking. Don't worry. Don't be anxious about anything. In everything. Can somebody say everything? What if you have a flat tire? Pray about it. Especially if you don't have a jack. And very especially if you don't have a spare. You better do something. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Thank him. Please don't forget this. this is the most important thing that we can do when we come before God. Before we ask for anything, talk about all of our needs and all of our problems and all our cares and all our concerns, let's just come before Him and say, "Thank you, Father, for what you've already done in my life. Thank you for being such a good Father. Thank you for taking care of me. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my husband. Thank you for my children. Thank you for supplying my needs. Thank you for what you've already done." Just be full of thanksgiving. Prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Amen. Don't forget ever to be thankful. Always be thankful. If you can't do anything else and you don't know how to pray, one thing you can always do, if God's done anything for you at all, one thing you can always do, every one of us, can come before God and say, "Father, I just want to thank you." You say, "Well, what's one of the things that I can thank Him for? I don't know that He's really ever done anything for me." Well, you're the one I want to talk to. "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. He gave His Son for you." That's what you can thank Him for. No, we didn't deserve Him. We never will deserve Him. We don't earn it. We don't do anything. God sent His Son to die for us. He bore your sins, all of your sins, my sins and all of our sins, and for the sins of the whole world, in His body on the cross. He took your stripes and was beaten and bloodied. He wore a crown of thorns for you. And they didn't take His life from Him. He dismissed it. Amen. "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." He dismissed His spirit for you. He died for you. And He went to the grave. The Bible says hell, grave, pit, whatever term you want to use. He went 3 days there for you. And then He came out for you. Now, whether you receive that or not makes all the difference in the world as to how He's going to work in your life. So begin by receiving Him. And you do that. How do I receive Him? You just say, come to Him and say, "Lord, I thank You for giving Your Son for my life. I thank You, Jesus, for dying for me. I believe You're my Lord. I confess You as my Lord and my Savior. Come into my life and save my soul." And boy, I'm going to tell you, if you mean it, He will do it. Amen? Let's everyone stand. We're going to have a dismissal prayer here in just a minute. Mary's going to play something. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Anybody wants to come to this altar for any reason, to receive the Lord or to pray for somebody or for anything right now, the Spirit of God's in this place. And there's not a better time than when God's presence is here. If you want to just come to the altar and receive the Lord as your Savior and say, "I want You to come into my life," or whatever it is that you need to do, just do that right now in Jesus' name. That's right, just come on. You just want to pray for somebody, you can do that too. Maybe you have a brother, a sister, aunt, uncle, niece, nephew, somebody you know. They were in a car wreck on the way home today from wherever they are. They wouldn't go to heaven if they died. You're praying for them. Amen. Father, thank You for being here. As we come to this place, thank You, Lord, for Your marvelous love and grace. Thank You for being so good to us. Lord, You're so good. And we just want to pray right now, Father, and we want to you know, your Bible, you tell us, Lord, in your word, where two or more agree on earth is touching any one thing that they would ask, it would be done of our Father which is in heaven. So all these people right now in this auditorium and here at the altar that are praying for somebody, praying for themselves, or praying for whoever, you know, Lord, you know exactly who they're praying for right now. We want to agree together. All of us that want to agree, we just want to agree together right now in Jesus' name. Two or more of us are agreeing together, Lord, that their prayers, these prayers of these people right now are praying in this place. We have come up before your throne of grace. And you've heard those prayers. And we believe, Lord, we're not praying for something foolish or something stupid. We're praying for something that is your will. Especially if it's somebody that's in our family that's lost and doesn't know you or is out of fellowship and away from you right now and they need to get back into a relationship with you. We know that's your will. And so we're asking together, Father, in Jesus' name, for maybe a father or a mother or a child or a friend or whoever. Lord, we're agreeing together right now in Jesus' name. Father, we claim them right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You mentioned their name right now. Lord, I claim so-and-so in the name of Jesus. If it's two or three people, mention their names. We claim them for you, Father, right now in Jesus' name. We claim them for you. And Lord, we're expecting a miracle in their lives. We're expecting a miracle. And in people's lives that are praying for healing or jobs or finances, Lord, we agree together right now in Jesus' name that you'll supply their needs because we're asking, Father. We're agreeing that you're Almighty God. Everything is possible with you. You can do anything. And we trust you. And you love us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Glory, hallelujah. Have a wonderful day.